This is a test. This is a test. This is Peter Black, and today is September 2nd, 2006, and I'm sitting in Karora Palau and with Alan Olson in his home. And Alan was one of the very first volunteers to get to Palau. And so, to begin with, a few words maybe about your background, and when and where you were born, your family, your education, kind of up to the decision to join the Peace Corps.
Right. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, in 1946, May 23rd, 1946, and I went to early school, kindergarten, first grade in Chicago, and then the family moved to Tucson, Arizona, and that's essentially where I grew up. Went to elementary school, junior high school, and University of Arizona, in Tucson. My family is basically Norwegian immigrant family. Came over at the turn of the century in 1901 to 1908.
Uh-huh.
And most of the family still lives in the Midwest with a few spread out in other places.
So how'd they put food on the table, your family?
My family, my grandfather owned an apartment building in Chicago and a farm in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
The cash crop on the farm was tobacco. And the apartment building was an income generator. He and his brother built it themselves on McCormick Avenue in Chicago. My dad was in the waterworks trade, selling sewer pipe and putting together sewer systems for municipalities, wherever he ended up living, in Tucson and later on in California. They moved over to San Diego after I joined the Peace Corps.
Did you say it was a particularly religious family, Alan?
Yeah, good Lutheran background all the way through, for generations. I was baptized in North Austin Lutheran Church. The churches in Tucson were Our Saviors, and then they started a new church called Streams in the Desert, and my family was one of the first families to work in that church.
Brothers and sisters?
I have a brother, David, younger than me, and a sister, Virginia, who's younger than me. Virginia Pence is her married name, and David Olson. They both live in San Diego now.
So you're University of Arizona, Tucson?
Yes.
And
College of Agriculture, entomology.
Entomology.
Yes, I'm one of the few rare breed of entomologists. There's maybe 20,000, 30,000 of us in the world that actually have degrees in entomology, and I'm one of them.
And that's about bugs, it's not about the origin of words,
exactly.
Right?
It's not anything to do with literature and language. It has to do with six-legged insects and more.
Okay.
When I was in college, my finishing my sophomore year, I joined the Peace Corps. What happened was they were recruiting on campus, and a friend of mine, Fred Brown, and I read the recruiting literature, thought it would be a grand adventure, and we signed on to the Peace Corps and got accepted, both of us, into the Micronesia 1 program. Fred went to Truk Islands and eventually ended up out on, I believe, Sarawak, or somewhere out in one of the outer islands. And I ended up in Palau. Happily.
Well, Fred Brown was a friend of mine. So that's great.
Yeah.
So what led you to sign up for a tour in the Peace Corps?
Adventure.
Adventure.
That was the motive. That was.
Uh-huh.
It sounded like a wonderful place, lots of insects, lots of things to do, and it turned out to be an adventure.
So you were a sophomore in what year?
66.
You signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So you came out before you finished.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't finish school. I had to go back to school.
Uh-huh.
But then one of the nice things about the Peace Corps was they accrued money for you in the States. So when I finished Peace Corps, I had enough money to go back to school immediately.
That's great. So where was your training?
We trained in Key West, Florida, Micronesia 1.
Westinghouse?
Westinghouse was the contractor for that.
Uh-huh.
And they rented a huge old hotel on the shoreline in Key West, Florida. We spent most of our time in Key West, but we did spend, I think, two weeks or longer in Miami, learning classroom skills by participating in Head Start programs in Miami, Dade County School District. And at the same time, while we were in Miami, interesting little sidelight, we worked with the Office of Economic Opportunity, the old OEO, to do voter registration for the Voter Registrations Act, which is newly passed. So we canvassed neighborhoods to sign up voters, mainly in the projects in South Dade County, to sign up voters to vote in the next election.
So now, looking back on that training now, do you feel it's particularly effective or ineffective, or did the right people get chosen, or the wrong people get thrown out, or what do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't know about choosing. They went through an extensive and highly secretive selection process.
Right, deselecting
people. Deselecting people in regular intervals. The training itself was excellent in that it was language intensive. And we had lots and lots of language and lots of language teachers. As when I came to Palau afterwards, I realized how valuable that part of it was. They went through other like physical fitness, we had to do the Royal Canadian exercise routine, and they went through a little cultural backgrounding separate from the language, and gave us some fundamentals and classroom skills, because we were all tagged with teachers in elementary and high school, primary and secondary schools.
So how'd your family feel about this wild adventure you were
They were used to it. It's not my first wild adventure, nor my last. So they were not surprised, shall we say. Because I've been doing stuff like that for a long time. Going down to Mexico and doing other things. So yeah, they were, that's typical of him.
What can you say about your kind of early, your first impressions of Palau and being out here, that settling in period?
Settling in was, when we first came to Palau, of course we were the very first group, Micronesia One, and so we were a very unusual happening here. And we all, they chartered us a plane from Oakland, and we all came over here together in a big group, and they had a sort of reception set up at a place called Byra Ek, with food and dignitaries and speeches and things like that. And it was evening by the time we got around to that, and I was not intensely interested in the ceremony, so I walked down the street to the Evergreen Bar and met a couple of Palauans, one of whom took me home, and I'm not sure what happened in the abide, but I did have a good first day in Palau. Then they sent us out to Ngarelum, which is in the far north, and there was maybe about a week where we were getting used to the place, and we had to teach school every day.
So you had a week before school started?
No, a week before. We were expected to show up at school.
Right.
School had already started, but they gave us some slack time to get ready, to get ourselves situated. In Ngarelum, what they did was there were three volunteers at first, me, Steve Lewis, and Larry Beauchamp. And they put us all in a Japanese house up by the infirmary, which is up on the top of the hill close to the school. And it was a frame house, wood frame house, and they had to get make arrangements for somebody to do housekeeping for us and cooking and things like that. It took about a week to get all that straightened out.
So what grades were you teaching?
All grades. We taught ESL on a rotational basis throughout the school. And so I taught the lower grades, 1 through 3. Most of the time I was there, but the plan was to switch over and give everybody a chance at every different age.
So did you spend your whole tour in Maryland?
No. After the typhoon, the great typhoon, the Peace Corps called us all in to Koror, and at least they called us into Koror, and gave us temporary assignments on typhoon reconstruction. I ended up going down to Angar and filling potholes in roads and clearing debris from the typhoon. Then the Peace Corps had I'm not sure if it was Michael 2 or Michael 4, Andy Morikawa and his wife Susan. Well, they needed a larger school so they didn't break the marriage. So they put Andy and Susan up in that room and reassigned me to Mekpan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do you like it there?
Yeah, oh, beautiful place.
Yeah.
The thing about Mekpan was there was no school. The people in Mekpan had approached the Peace Corps for a volunteer and the Department of Education for a teacher. So I showed up in Mekpan and the teacher, Haruo Ruel, and there was no school. There was two of us, and education gave us some papers and supplies, but that was about it. So what we ended up doing was converting the community hall, the Abai, into a school. We made portable blackboards, we painted them, we built them ourselves with the men of the village. And they built benches and
so the people in the village were okay with that, so the Abai turned into a school?
Yeah, that was their plan. Yeah. See, their children had to go over to Ngarumuli
on
a bamboo raft or a boat.
Right. You know,
but they had to travel. There was a lot of travel, and it's kind of dangerous on the ocean.
Well, crocodiles got one of those kids once.
Things like that. So they wanted their own school so they didn't have to make the voyage over to the other school. So they were willing to put together a school by themselves. And then it worked kind of good. It was a one-room school, basically. Had maybe 15 students or something.
And was that the remainder of your services or volunteer?
No. When I, on my third year, interestingly enough, I was replaced in Mekpan by another volunteer from a new group, and the director, Dirk Ballendorf, told me he was sending me to Toby.
Really?
Yes. So I came in to Karor and spent maybe 2 months or so filling in at Karor High School, at Palau High School, while they were making the arrangements. It turned out they didn't send anybody, or didn't send me to Toby. And so then they sent me back up to Ngarumuli. So I came a full circle.
I see.
I went from Ngarumuli to Mekpan, down into Karor for a while, and back up to
Ngarumuli. They might have sent Kelderman down.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
So you ended up...
I got the feeling I was sort of the backup.
Yeah.
In case the whoever they had planned from the new group was either deselected or somehow didn't make it, then they were going to use me as backup, which is fine.
Well, it's too bad, but it's a great place.
I would have loved to go out there, yeah.
So you did a third year here.
Yes.
What led you to extend?
I was having fun.
All right, so?
Is there a better reason?
No.
Okay.
No. All right, let's just then, your third year, how'd that go? You must have been pretty senior in the ranks by that time.
Yeah, that went pretty good. I spent some time at Palau High School, teaching at the high school level, which is totally different. And then they sent me back out to another one, which was already sort of familiar territory. And I knew people out there. And another alone, and in Mekpan, I was staying with families rather than living in a separate house.
Yeah,
so
it's a way to live.
In a way, I liked it a lot better than the first experience. It was a lot of fun.
So you like living with a family better than living on your own?
Oh yeah, sure. The life, the life in Palau is available to you. If you set off in a house separate, then you only get marginal exposure to what's going on in the village and stuff.
Little splashes of it.
Yeah, little splashes in there. But when you're living with somebody and their kids and their relatives and
So you're still close to those people you live with? Are you still close to those families you live with?
Not as close as I was, but I'm still in contact with them. Actually, most of them are dead.
They call the you their Peace Corps, their volunteer?
No, they call me their... well, sometimes they call me their brother, and then sometimes they just call me that guy.
That Rubak.
Yeah, that Rubak. But the children who were in the house when I was there have grown up now. They have kids of their own.
Oh, that's great.
One of them... from Mekpan, one of them was married to the Rebel Guru, one of the high chiefs in Mekpan. In Mekpan, there were two kids in our house. I lived with a gentleman named Timula, and his wife was Saint Halel, very very traditional farmers, and they have two children, and Rosan, the girl, is married to a chief now in the village.
Uh-huh.
And the boy, Simon, is working on a missile base in Quadge, and electronics and things like that. The children from the house up in, family up in Meadow Lung are by and large back in the village now,
uh-huh,
in various states of marriage and stuff like that.
So, then you got to the end of your third year here.
Well, there's something else to inject in there. I also was taken to do training for Peace Corps volunteers in the UDOT, truck.
In the truck, right,
yeah,
truck.
No, that was truck then, truck now. So I went to UDOT for a summer.
Uh-huh.
Spent some time in Chuuk, and Fred Brown showed up, and we had a couple of beers together. He came in from the Outer Islands.
Uh-huh.
We had a good time, and he seemed to be just having a ball, too, and doing a lot of good.
Uh-huh.
And then I also was a staff member on the training in Ngunnawalawai.
Uh-huh.
Palau.
Uh-huh.
And then after
that
I got up...
That was training in Palau.
Yeah, that was first one in Palau. In both places, I was running model classrooms so the new volunteers could learn their classroom
uh-huh
teaching skills.
Uh-huh.
And then I did the same thing in Saipan after I got out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. They had a program up there. I got a contract.
Uh-huh.
They paid me for summer. I don't think they must have liked the way I was doing it. I don't know.
So you stayed kind of part of the Peace Corps family for a while, and...
Yeah.
So we'll get to kind of how you end up living here and your work, but it's just, I'm kind of interested. So you're here, you have this kind of wealth of experience. Does the Peace Corps office now here in town, do they draw on your experience or your skills? Or?
In a word, no.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, a couple times when I've been through, they've had me talk to training groups,
right,
you know, something like
well,
that.
Well, that's now, 2006, uh-huh, right?
Right.
The last, when I was here, before I retired and moved here,
uh-huh,
I would come back periodically.
Right.
And last few times I came back in the 90s, they were doing Peace Corps training, and they were asking me,
right,
I would come and give them talks about how I adjusted and about
mm-hmm
what it was like when I was there versus what it was
how to live in a Palau household.
How to live in a Palau household, things like that. But this time, they don't. The current Peace Corps
mm-hmm
office doesn't seem to be too interested in it.
Yeah, well, I guess they're doing their training over in Palm Bay or something.
This is true. I mean, I don't know the reason. All I know is uh-huh in the
right
last 4 or 5 years, I haven't been contacted with that
mm-hmm
at all. They know I'm here.
So, Saipan, you're up there. That must be along about 1970.
Yeah.
And of course, the war is going hot and heavy.
Vietnam's still running.
Still running. And so, what happened when you finished your tour up there, your contract, and decided to pick up the threads of your life and go on?
Well, I got married and went back to school.
Is this your current wife?
Yes. Uh-huh.
She's
yeah,
a Palauan.
Yes, she's a Palauan.
Where'd you meet her?
I met her in Meadow Lung teaching school.
Was she another school teacher?
She was an ESL coordinator, English
uh-huh
second language
uh-huh
coordinator, and a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And she was assigned up there. Her native village is Meadow Lung.
Uh-huh.
But the education sent her up there. And I like to tell her that she fell in love at first sight.
That's not very Palauan.
But no, we met up in Meadow Lung, and we got married after in 1970 after Saipan.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So we went in a sort of traditional type of mode for the marriage.
Uh-huh.
I met with her and courted her, and we got to know each other.
Uh-huh.
And then her brother introduced me to her family, her
uh-huh
father and her mother. And I bought the bride price and
uh-huh
did some other things right. And then I went back to the States, and she stayed here for another year because she still had a contract
uh-huh
to finish out with education as the ESL coordinator. She came to the States for my sister's wedding and came back here.
Is that her first time there?
Yeah, first time there. And then she also got a job up in Saipan, so
uh-huh
we came together in Saipan, we came back to the States together from Saipan and got married then.
So you went back to the States before the Saipan thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you guys live together here before you left?
No.
No. Okay, so it was...
No, it was, we could have, because I'd already exchanged money and stuff. But it was right at the end of my Peace Corps and I was going back.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, she had a contract, so we never...
So did you get married in the church here, or how did that work?
No, I got married in Streams in the Desert Lutheran Church
you
in
did?
Tucson, yeah.
So your whole family's there?
No, whole family was there.
She have family there?
No, she didn't have any family.
Uh-huh.
But they sent a bunch of things for my family.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's cool.
So, later on, in our marriage, I brought her mother and father over.
Uh-huh.
And gave them a grand tour of the West Coast and ended up staying with my parents so they could get to know my family.
Uh-huh.
So the families know each other very much.
But have your folks ever been over here?
No.
How about your brother and sister?
No.
It's a long way.
Well, they have lives of their own.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So you went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
You're a married student at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Life's a little different. And
then the inevitable happened. My wife got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
So I needed a job and I applied to the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And I got a job with the Food and Drug Administration, Civil Service,
uh-huh.
in Seattle, Washington. Uh-huh. So we moved up to Seattle. Spent maybe 4 or 5 years there. And then we moved down to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Still with the Food and Drug Administration,
uh-huh.
and I got into the first level supervision of laboratories
uh-huh.
there, and then I moved up to San Francisco and ran a laboratory for them.
Uh-huh. Still as FDA?
Yes, still FDA, and then I moved into FDA headquarters in the Beltway
uh-huh.
at C Street Southwest
uh-huh.
As their national expert. And basically I was, at the end of my, for the last 8 to 10 years of my career,
uh-huh.
I was doing policy for the government, courtroom testimony as uh-huh. an expert witness, and
congressional
and congressionals, yes, going in front of the committees
uh-huh.
and doing...
Were you able to do some of your own research?
Hmm?
You were able to do some of your own research?
Oh, yeah. Over the years in FDA, I published maybe 60 or more
uh-huh.
peer-reviewed journal articles.
Uh-huh.
I did a couple of technical manuals as editor, and I did a book through CRC Press,
uh-huh.
all in the area of insects and food,
uh-huh.
in that area. So I did quite a bit of research
uh-huh.
in that time. And then I also did quite a bit of regulatory research, which is putting together policy.
Uh-huh.
And that policy I put together is still in our federal government working for you.
Well, I got to ask, has the Republic of Palau turned to you for any help in any other regulatory struggles? Or
I've retired from the federal government
uh-huh.
and I came here to do insects, so I avoid anything that's not
uh-huh.
to do with entomology. So
uh-huh.
yes, I worked with the Palau government, like with the Toby ants
right.
and things like that. And I'm at the museum on
uh-huh.
staff as an emeritus entomologist.
Uh-huh.
But I
like your exhibit there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. But I'm now retired and I don't really want to get back into administration
uh-huh.
or
uh-huh.
government work.
Uh-huh.
Not that I didn't like it, but now is my time to spend with the insects and
uh-huh.
my true love.
So let's just take a few minutes to reflect on this kind of Peace Corps 3 years. Well, sure, you know, in some sense you can see this huge impact on you. That's where your wife met your wife, you know, you've got a huge family here and you're back here. You talked the whole time. Right? You were in the Peace Corps here.
Yeah, the whole time.
So I don't... you were at that talk I gave at the museum the other day, and
mm-hmm.
I kind of started talking about, well, you know, how effective was the Peace Corps, and, you know, what are the outcomes, positive, negative? And I think it just seemed a couple of people seemed kind of interested in that question.
How would you talk about that?
Our group, at least, is the only one I can really make judgments about. There was a profound effect in the language teaching.
Yeah.
And
a whole new level.
A whole new level of language teaching. Mm-hmm. And if you walk around Palau today, you will see a very large number of middle to late middle-aged people mm-hmm. who have excellent command of English,
mm-hmm.
thanks to the Peace Corps saturation of the
right.
school system. And they saturated even the parochial schools.
Yeah.
Because they sent teachers to the Catholic school,
yeah,
to the
Murray
SBA school,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's had a profound effect on Palau. They
mm-hmm.
are, the generation that is now running things here is
right.
truly a bilingual generation.
Right.
Yeah.
At least
excellent
bilingual.
Command, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a large number of them have excellent
mm-hmm.
command.
Mm-hmm.
So from that viewpoint, that's a big effect.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But
well,
on the larger scale of things,
uh-huh.
having a command of a language such as English, French, or Spanish
yeah.
is important. It opens
yeah.
a lot of doors.
Yeah.
And in truth, it opened a lot of doors, I'm sure, for college education. For
yeah. yeah. Fair enough. What impact on you do you think this Peace Corps, the decision you made as a sophomore in college to sign up you and Fred Brown and go on.
Impact on you?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No. I would have adventured somewhere else some
uh-huh.
other way.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's important to realize, at least in my case,
uh-huh.
and probably in Fred's case too,
uh-huh.
I did all the teaching and things of the Peace Corps, the tasks that
uh-huh.
the Peace Corps had promised to do here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had plenty of time to do what I really like doing, which is the insects and the wildlife.
Uh-huh.
So in addition to teaching school and
right.
doing some other things that they asked me to do, I ended up going on crocodile surveys, and coconut rhinoceros beetle surveys,
uh-huh.
and hiking all over Palau. By the time I was done with Peace Corps, I had seen more places in Palau than most Palauans had.
Yeah, I bet.
Everywhere from Kaingal down, I never got to Toby,
uh-huh.
but from Kaingal down to Angar, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been all over Babeldaop into some little villages and interior places that people, I mean, I can talk to Palauans and say, well, I remember when I went to Ngerdok or Ngerok or Kutlau, and they say, I've never been there. So I spent a lot of time learning, sizing up the turf.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. So I believe this probably brings us about to the close of things. Have you got any other thoughts or memories or events you want to talk about for whoever the future researcher is that's just listening to this tape? Go right ahead. Now is a good time.
I don't know. The Peace Corps, here's one thing I think struck me as Peace Corps then and now. When we were in the Peace Corps, we weren't restricted very much.
Mm-hmm.
We were given tasks and we were trusted to go do them, and we had marginal, if any, communications with the director.
Right.
I mean, we had shortwave radios, we were supposed to check in every Friday, that didn't always happen. We were pretty much self-reliant in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also immersed in the Palauan culture.
Yeah.
I've talked to volunteers now in the current
mm-hmm.
crew that's here, and they are incredibly restricted as to where they can go, what they can do, as far as, I mean, simple things like driver's licenses and
rails.
Yeah. And they also are hungry for what they're calling the Palau experience. So apparently they are feeling that they're in Palau, but they're not really
right.
in Palau. And that is a big difference between Peace Corps then and now. Peace Corps then, when we were in it, you forgot almost that you were American half the time
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you were so immersed in
right.
the local culture.
Well, thank you very much, Alan.
You're welcome.